Today I want to talk to you about something that is complicated. It's made to be complicated, and what I'd like to do is attempt to simplify a truth that we find in the Word of God and a truth that we're experiencing in our world today. And this is a truth that's often neglected. This is a truth that a lot of people are ignorant about, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, are dismissive. I know I dismiss it a lot of the times. I have to be reminded of this truth. It's a truth that's very, very important. And because of the way the devil has, I think, made it complex, and the way our society makes it complex, that's why it can be neglected, and that's why people can be ignorant of it or just dismissive of it. But I want to simplify it today. And the need is really great to simplify the threat that we all face in our modern world and what our response is to be to the threat. The threat against you and against the unbelievers as well is basically the same. It may be different tactics. It may be different approaches, different temptations, different assaults or whatever, but the world is facing a threat. And the Bible teaches us as we get closer to the end of the age, the threat increases. And if the devil can make that threat complicated, if he is, since he is the author of confusion, it is very easy for us Westerners, we modern Christians, to get confused maybe, or just not see it clearly as the Bible does. But here's a threat. There's a threat against us and against the world, and it's, of course, Satan. And the back of the book describes Satan as the dragon, and you can read a lot about the dragon if you read the book of Revelation. And not only that, but the fallen angels that we call demons or devils in the Bible, they're called devils. There are doctrines of devils. There's attacks of the devil. There are principalities and powers. In fact, I'll read a passage in Ephesians 6 to, again, help simplify this issue of the threat that is against you, your family, and against our country, and against the world. But I'm more concerned, because I'm a pastor, I'm more concerned about the sheep. I am concerned about the world, but you know, Jesus, in his high priestly pastoral prayer over his disciples, he said, "I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that you have given me, O Father." And so I feel kind of that way, even though I do pray for the world and I do want sinners to be saved. But as a pastor and the shepherd's heart that God has given me, my priority is to the sheep, the people who know God. But in Ephesians chapter 6, 10, 11, it says, finally, 12 and 13, I'm sorry. "For we wrestle not," here's the simplicity of it, "we wrestle not against flesh and blood." I have to constantly tell myself that. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's where the complexities and the confusion comes. "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That was verse 12. Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That's 13. So in the Bible, we have clearly and simply laid out for us where we're going and what the end game is going to be. And when you look at the end game, it helps to simplify what's going on now as far as understanding why the world is the way it is, why you're having the troubles that you're having, why the challenges that we are having, what can we make sense out of it? And we talked about that before. But if you go kind of into the future with the Word of God, we find where we're going, where we're headed as far as the world is concerned. For example, in Revelation 12:12, we'll have this on the screens. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." So he's talking to the heavens. There are people in heaven, right? A lot of folks there. A lot of folks in heaven. And so he's addressing the heavens first. And he says, "Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, different target group. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. That's simple, easy to understand. The Bible clearly says that we have an adversary, and here is where we're going into the future. Also, in the same chapter, in verse 15, and 16 and 17, cast and they cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now that woman, just to let you know, that's Israel in chapter 12. Cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. When you look at the Middle East, you look at Israel and the anti-Semitism, it gets confusing. I don't understand why people are hating the Jews and why the college campuses are not protecting the Jewish students. And they hate them. Why would people stand up for Hamas? It's stupid to me. I don't understand it. It gets confusing why people are in America standing up for people who slaughtered babies and attacked the Jews. But that's the way it is. Well, the Bible gives a simple explanation of this stuff that's going on. He might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That's the devil. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. In other words, God is helping Israel. How many of you noticed that the last few decades? That God is helping Israel. 1,000-1 underdogs, Israel wins. I hate anti-Semitism. I just hate it. I'm a lover of the Jews, primarily not because I agree with them, because I don't. But the number one reason is my Lord and Savior was and is a Jew from the tribe of Judah. He is the Messiah. He came to his own. These are the kinfolk of Jesus. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If for no other reason, I'm pro-Israel. I'm pro-Jew. But the earth is going to help the woman because God will make it happen. And the earth opened up her mouth, swallowed up that flood. So the woman escapes to the wilderness and has a place prepared for the Lord. And that's still in the future. That hasn't happened yet. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. The dragon was wroth with the Israel and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, who is the seed of woman? Who is the seed of Israel? The seed, singular seed that comes from the tribe of Judah. Jesus, right? So I am a receiver of Jesus in my life. So I and you are part of the remnant of her, not Israel. I'm not a citizen of Israel. But I am a citizen, I am an offspring, I am a relative, I'm a family member of the seed of Israel, because that's Jesus Christ. So, the dragon, when he saw he could not, or this is in the future, when he sees he cannot destroy Israel, because the earth is helping the woman, and God prepares a place and hides her off into the wilderness, so he can't get to her. He turns and he makes war with the remnant of her seed. And in case you didn't catch that, he explains, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How many of you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Okay, so you know who he's talking about. So here in this one passage, we see where we're going into the future as we approach the second coming of Christ. There's going to be more hatred towards the Jews by the dragon, because this escalates. I'm reading to you about the climax, but it builds. That's where we're at now. It's building, and you can see it. You can read it in the news. You see it on the TV. All over the world, anti-Semitism. And we better pray about it, and we better be concerned, because the same dragon that goes for the Jews comes after the church as well. So it simplifies it. Our eyes are open because of the Word of God. It's not open because of the news. It's not open because of our culture. It's not open because of the opinions of man. The Word of God has laid it out as clear as a bell of where the threat lies and what it is. In Revelation 16, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. How many of you believe Jesus is coming soon? All right. Well, with Jesus coming soon, this other stuff is coming soon too. It's a package deal. The devil working miracles, going out to the prime ministers and to the presidents and the kings of the earth, pulling them into Armageddon. The same breath of the Spirit, same verse, same passage. Behold, I come. Jesus is speaking as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. Must be in you. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And then the last verse, and he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So in the same breath that God reveals about the battle of Armageddon, he says, behold, I come. And blessed is he that's ready for the coming of Christ. So it reveals to us simply this, is that the adversary is the devil. The threat is the devil. It's not flesh and blood. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world, that's the dragon, hath blinded the minds of them which don't believe. So that's the threat to the world. Dragon is a threat to the world to blind them so they don't get saved. That's the strategy of the dragon to the world, is to confuse them, to make it complex, give them a bunch of religions. They don't know which one to go to. Many choose nothing. People are agnostic. People are atheistic. People are cultic, occultic, witchcraft, drugs, sex, perversion. It's just a big old bunch of complex wickedness. And the threat to the world is to blind them so they don't see the light of Jesus Christ like we've received. The god of this world, the dragon, hath blinded the minds of them which don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see that on the college campuses. You see it in the government. And here's what makes it complex. The demonic powers and these principalities and the dragon and the fallen angels and the demons work or are manifested through venues, through vessels, through mechanisms. It's not just the devil. No, the devil has to have instruments and tools and human institutions in which to work through. And that's where the confusion comes along. This is where it gets complicated. It's because I'm looking at the government, or I'm looking at the media, or I'm looking at our culture in general, just the culture and the how it's deteriorated over the years. I'm looking at the religious establishment, and I'm telling you that government, media, culture, and religious establishment, this is shocking to say it, but I'm going to simplify it for you so that you'll know that you know that you know. The government, the media, the culture, the religious establishment of the world today have a close personal relationship with the devil. Those are the mediums whereby the devil is working through. And so we can visually see these entities and these institutions, and we can agree, disagree, we get aggravated, we just... Why would they, you know, and it's just, I don't understand. I'm in confusion when I try to analyze what is going on in our world and in our country. A lot of the stuff doesn't make sense. There's an absence of common sense in the world today. And you look underneath and it's evil. It's not just stupid. It's evil. How do you explain it? Because I'm looking at the government. I'm looking at the media. I'm looking at the culture. I'm looking at institutions. I'm looking at the economy. I'm looking at the money situation. Looking. Society is bent towards demonism. The Bible lays it out clear. We look into the future. Yep, that's what's going to happen. We look into the future and see where we're going with this. And we know that society is bent towards evil. That Satan is the god of the world. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the wicked spirit that works in high places. High places in government, high places in commerce, the economy. Anywhere there's power and authority in the world, you'll find the devil. You find God's people there too. We're the salt of the earth, so God's people are in there too. And that could make it more complicated. Because that's in the mix as well. Thank God for that. Not a wonderful thing, but it could be adding to the complexity of understanding. So we have to have the Word of God to give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech and know how to pray. Know how to pray. If we don't understand this, we don't know how to pray because we're praying in the flesh. We're still thinking of politics. We're still thinking of the will of man. If we do not have eyes of the Spirit and the eyes of the Word and the eyes of faith, we will not see the demonic powers because they're like God. They're invisible. They're spirits. So if we don't think, we don't walk by faith, it goes over us like a flock of geese. And we'll just wrestle with flesh and blood, with our religious convictions. Well, that's better than wrestling with flesh and blood without religious convictions or biblical convictions, I guess. But God is simplifying it. He wants those early disciples in that early church to know, don't take it personally. When they're about to cut your head off, don't get your feelings hurt. This is not flesh and blood. These people don't know what they're doing. There are people who are demon-possessed. They don't know it, and we don't know it. Because we're confused. We're looking at the vessel rather than the contents of the vessel. There are people today, just like in the time that Christ came the first time. It's the same when He comes back the second time. There are people walking among us that are full of the devil. Everywhere Jesus went, He cast out devils. Everywhere we go, we wrestle with flesh and blood. And that's confusing. Society is bent towards demonism more than Christ. The world is more willing and ready to hate Jews rather than to love them and believe that there's a prophetic calling upon the Jews that's centered around Jesus Christ. The world is not going to appreciate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never will. It never will. That's why Christ has to come with a sword coming out of His mouth to smite the nations. If it wasn't this way, He would not come in the way that He's going to come. It jumps out at me when I read it. In the manner in which Jesus Christ comes, I saw a bumper sticker years ago, Jesus is coming and He's mad. Comes the first time like a little baby. Sweet story of Christmas. He's not coming that way anymore. We have read the back of the book. It's very clear. He comes on a white steed with a sword out of His mouth, and the Bible says to smite the nations. How many nations? All of the nations. I don't like it, but it simplifies it. Simplifies my role as a Christian. It immunizes me against the virus of Satan. Because we're full of truth. Chapter 12, same chapter that I read from. It said, they overcame. Boy, I like that. The common responses to this truth that I'm talking about when people hear it is to neglect it, to be ignorant of it, or to be dismissive, or maybe all three. Most Christians are not walking prepared to be a soldier and to engage in spiritual warfare. Most Christians never know what it is to be able to open your mouth and with your finger say, "Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I resist you." And the Bible says you must flee. Now get. It's not taught in most churches. Most churches don't read the back of the book. The society, again, is bent towards demonism, but doesn't know it. Society certainly doesn't know it, but we ought to know it. But you don't expect the world to know it. This is deep stuff. World is gullible. These stupid college students that are rooting for Hamas, they have no clue. They have mush for brains or cold hearts. They don't know God. Lascivious, lustful, perverted, many of them. Hate the people that God favors. The Jews are God's favorite people, whether you like it or not. Well, Christians, we're the people of God. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. God loves us with an everlasting love. We're full of the Holy Ghost. We have the Word of God. We worship Him in spirit and truth. And the devil hates that. And everybody that's full of the devil will hate the church. The late former Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, he's passed on now. But before he died, he said this, and this was a Supreme Court justice. And I wrote it down. He said this, "Satan is real and doesn't want you to believe in him." Now, I knew that. That's simple to me. But boy, hearing that from a Supreme Court justice, I perked up. I got a chill. I thought, "Whoa, boy, that's so true." Thank God that he knew that. And he said that right before he died. Satan is real, doesn't want you to believe in him. The saints' response, because I'm talking about the threat, and I'm done with the threat. Now your response. The Bible is wanting it to be clear and simple about, now what do we do with that truth? The response that is simple is through the Word of God. We are, first of all, to discern these adversaries and these spirits. We are to discern that. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits, but through the Word of God, we combat the doctrines of devils with the truth. 2 Corinthians 2 said, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." We're not ignorant of his devices. So we have that response, or we are supposed to, is that we respond to whatever is going on in the world, in our personal life. We have a biblical worldview. We discern the spirit of the age that we're in. We discern that these spirits are not of God. We can discern words that can be sweet and sound good on the surface, and yet we discern, as Paul did, that this is demonic. We have to have the discernment that comes through the Word of God. That's the only way to simplify it. The Word is here to make it clear to you. The Word is not coming to bring confusion to you. It's not to make you scratch your head and make you more miserable. It's not intended for you to be confused. It's to bring clarity. "Thus saith the Lord." Oh, wow. It's a powerful word. May be hard to receive it, But the Word of God is a revelation. That means to unveil it so you can see it for what it is. And you understand it. You, oh, wow, ooh, man. Wow. Oh, man. Now I know how to pray. And then second of all, we are learning how to be a soldier. We're learning how to be adversarial back to the adversary. Let me tell you this. It's not God's will that the devil be your adversary and you not be his adversary. Isn't that a good thought? We have to change the way we think about life and about the world and about the church and about ourselves and protecting our families. And that is, not only is the devil against me, as we just read, but I am against him. So through the Word, we're adversarial. The church is not just for nice little things like morality. That's flesh and blood. To think that our main purpose is to be an example with our righteousness. And that our message is, look how good we are. That's flesh and blood. That is not the message of the gospel. It's not the message of the church. God has empowered us to be a threat to the gates of hell. Upon this rock, Jesus said to Peter, who was a little rock, he said, upon this rock, the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I will build my church. And the first thing after that, he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail. We have to turn the tables. I'm not waiting for the devil to attack my home. I'm getting up out of my bed, and this day I'm going after him. The best defense is what? All right. Whoop, man. It's good stuff. And we can only do it through the Word. In that passage in Ephesians, the only offensive weapon listed in the whole armor of God is the sword, which is the Word of God. So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Well, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to walk about too. We're looking for people who are oppressed of the devil. That's what Jesus did. He went everywhere ministering and healing and delivering people who were oppressed by demons. Jesus walks into a demoniac environment and the devil start begging. I like that about Jesus. I'm not like Jesus in that way. I'm not saying that, but I need to be more like Jesus. Where we're the threat to the gates of hell rather than the other way around only. There ought to be retaliation. There ought to be an offensive part of our spiritual warfare. The devil said, we know who you are. Are you here to torment us before the time? They knew Revelation 2, or part of it. Knowing that his time is short. So the demons knew that there was going to be a significant period of time before they're put into hell. And here comes Jesus in their territory of the demoniac and of the grave and the chains and the misery and the nakedness and the perverted demons, legion that had possessed this man. And they got the idea. We may have missed, calculated the time. Here comes, oh man, we're in trouble. Are you here to torment us before the time of the end? Don't cast us. Let us go to the pigs. And Jesus, with his authority over the principalities and the demons of his day, he allowed them. Who's in charge? He allowed them to have the pigs. Okay. And he gave permission. We need to turn the tables and learn how to fight back. And realize that greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. Luke 22, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you We have to resist. This is also our response, not only to discern and to be an adversary ourselves, but to actually resist through the Word of God as Jesus did. Peter said for us in 5:9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. James says the same thing. Submit yourselves in chapter 4 to God and resist the devil. And then finally, we respond by winning. Winning. Somebody said, there is no substitute for victory. Who said that? Was that Patton? One of those generals said, there is no substitute for victory. MacArthur or Patton, one of those. There is no substitute for victory. And so it is with our spiritual warfare. The Bible lays out for us something real simple. Here's the threat. Here's the threat. Oh, it's principalities. It's against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's true. But here also is another simple truth. You, through my power, will tread over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Woo! Aren't you glad for simplicity? The power of God is in the unadulterated truth that God says simply, and we have to say amen to it and get rid of the question marks. As God said, hath God said? Well, I don't know. Well, man. We'll get whipped. We don't know more than that. We are a winner through Christ. The Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and it says in James 4, and he will flee from you. I need to teach our kids, our young people, and the old people alike. You've got a mouth and you've got a heart. Plug them in together and speak the word and rebuke the devil. God wants you to be the devil's worst enemy. And he flees from you instead of us cowering behind our institutions thinking the government's going to solve our problems. Is your trust in the government? Is your trust in your abilities and your background or your pedigree or whatever? I'm telling you, this world's going to burn. I love America. I pray for our country. And I'm interested in politics, and I pray for all of them. But I cannot forget the fact that God is a ruler in heavens that rules over the kings of the earth. And he is supreme. And he's in charge of his church. And we are his army fighting the fight today. And the Bible says, little children, little children, this is so you'll know it's not you that's winning. It's not your power. Little children, somebody breaks in the door intent on doing this church harm, they're going to get a response. But I'm not prepared to say, hey, little kids, would y'all come out of your class and come in here and help us with this fight? No, we're going to hide them. We're going to protect them. We're not going to say, hey, kids, will y'all come in and take care of this terrorist? No, we're going to. We'll die protecting those children over there. You know what that? How many of you know that? Nobody will come in here and threaten you or those children without there being a big old response. But the Bible, in addressing us in the context of spiritual warfare, and this is our response. 1 John 4:4, I'd like for everyone to see that. This is our response. But notice what God, how he addresses us. And we'd never do this, but God would. Because he wants us to know that we are little children and we're talking about winning this fight, not because of our individual qualities or strengths and personality or talent. Little children. Yes, Papa. Listen to me. Ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Talking about the spirits and the false prophets, the demons. You have overcome them. Little children have overcome these demons. And the reason, and it's the reason why he calls you and me little children, is because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To the point that he acknowledges that you're just little children. You're just little David with a slingshot coming against a big old Nephilim. Watching the House of David series. Very interesting. Nephilim, big old giant, ugly, demon-possessed monster. And you got a little shepherd boy. Let me have him. Please let me go. Well, you're just a child. You're just a psalmist. You're a poet. You're just a... You play the harp. You keep sheep. Oh, David, he's got the attitude. He's got the spirit. He said, no, let me go. He begged Saul, let me go. Saul said, well, you're just... Well, here, take my stuff and then... David tried, man, I can't do this. This is flesh. I can't fight the giant with all this armor of the king. Now, just let me be free. Let me just be what I am. I killed a lion and a bear with my bare hands. I can take care of this guy that defies the armies of God. Let me have it. Just let me, okay, go. And then you know they're planning his funeral. Little children, little shepherd boy. You have Nephilims. You have people who are demon-possessed, have power, influence, and they have a lot of money. But the Bible tells you clearly and simply, you are of God. God marks a distinction between his people and the people of the world. He's got a place prepared for Israel right now and a refuge for her when she's driven out of Jerusalem. And she will be. God's got it all planned out. In fact, he lays it out in advance what he's going to do. The earth's going to open up and help Israel. What about us? Well, we got the Holy Ghost. Israel doesn't have the Holy Ghost. But God is sovereign. They're chosen anyway, and they're going to receive Christ. When they see him, every eye will see him, and Israel will receive Jesus as Messiah when he comes back. But in the meantime, we already know who the Messiah is. We're full of God. We keep the testimonies of Jesus Christ. Devil comes after us. But the Bible says they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives even unto the death. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. This is Luke 10. The devils are subject to us through thy name. How do we respond? We respond by winning. And that's when Jesus said, well, I give you power. I give you power to tread over scorpions and serpents, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Back in Revelation, they overcame. Daniel 11, such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flattery. He's talking about the Antichrist. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. That's how we ought to respond to the threat. Of course, Christ is our pattern, and he showed us how to do it. It is written, it is written. The devil came after Jesus in the temptation. Jesus said, it is written. Yeah, Alba, it is written. Devil come. It is written. And the Bible says the devil left him for a season. So he's our example. Jesus could look at Peter and he had that discernment. He knew how to respond with that discernment that I talked about. Peter said, no, you're not going to be crucified. Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. You see how Jesus was able to look beyond the institution or the person. He was able to look beyond the flesh and blood, and it was Peter, his disciple. And Peter was operating under the influence of a spirit that was saying something that wasn't true. Jesus has come to die. And Peter meant well. He meant well. But Jesus looked at Peter. He spoke to Peter. But he said, "Get thee behind me." And he didn't say, "Get thee behind me, Peter." No, it's not Peter. Jesus is not wrestling against Peter. He's wrestling against the devil that's trying to disrupt him. "Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written," he says it again, "for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Earlier, Jesus said, "If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come unto you." That's victory. And Jesus showed us how to do it. John 14:30, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh." Ooh, the prince of the world cometh. And look, notice this, "and hath nothing in me." At the end of his life, he's the devil's coming. Ooh, Judas is coming. The soldiers are coming. Darkness is coming. But he has nothing in me. He looked at Judas and he knew that the devil had come into Judas to betray him. He didn't hate Judas. He didn't hate Peter for denying him three times. Jesus knew that behind people, what looks like flesh and blood, there are demons that are motivating people to do what they do and say what they say. Even two disciples that were operating in the flesh, motivated by a spirit of falsehood. "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And these signs shall follow them in the Great Commission." Boy, we believe in the Great Commission, do we not? The Great Commission is for all of us. And part of the Great Commission in Mark 16 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out senators and House of Representatives and Supreme Court." We feel like that. Well, we need to cast some of those judges out, I believe. We need to vote them out. We need to get rid of some of these judges, some of these governors, and some of these representatives, and some of the senators. I want them gone. Anti-American, anti-God people in our government. I want them out. I want them gone. But the Bible is saying these things. "In my name shall they cast out devils." You don't vote them out. You have to cast them out. They're not going to leave. Like some of these people in government, they don't want to leave. The bureaucrats, they don't want to leave. The illegals, they don't want to leave. Devils, they don't want to leave. And that's why we have this word over and over, cast out. Jesus cast them out. "Are you here to torment us before that?" And he casts them out. So this is our attitude of response to the threat that is before the world, the church, our families, and me personally. Ronald Reagan talked about being only one generation away from losing our democratic republic. Only takes one generation to lose all of our heritage as freedom-loving Americans. And it's the same thing with Israel. It's the same thing with the church. It's the same thing with people, individuals. It doesn't take long to lose it all. To get off on the wrong track. To be discouraged. How many of God's people, not intending to do it, but just tired of the fight. Tired of the fight. And the tiredness and the weakness and the fatigue and being a weak Christian comes from operating in the flesh. Because the spiritual things that are coming against us, our flesh is nothing. Our flesh is nothing. The seven sons of Sceva tried to cast out the devil, and they went out naked and scratched up because they didn't know what they were doing. The demon said, "Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you?" It's not a formula. It's not tradition. It's knowing God, knowing Him, and having His Word, that we respond to the threat with His Word. When it's all said and done, we're going to stand with Him on that day. When He is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you'll be so glad that you were a fighter, that you were victors, and you had victory, and that you responded to the battle by being a winner. Even martyrs are exalted as winners because they did not buckle under the pressure. They didn't fight a spiritual battle with sticks and stones. They didn't go to a gunfight with a knife. The devil is coming with us with all kinds of psychological and mental and emotional confusion. The devil is the adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren. It's a spiritual, invisible thing that's pervasive in our world today, according to the Word of God. And I bear witness to it through my simple, common sense observation. I say amen to the Bible. The Bible describes it, and with my spiritual eyes, we're there. We're in the battle. So it's time to get up and shake stuff off and just realize, I got to come against this in the name of the Lord. I've got to come with this, with my Bible study and going to church and listening to the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. You got to hear it. You got to hear me speak and other people speak the Word. You got to hear encouragement and to build ourselves up in the most holy faith and be revived in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, a Spirit-filled Christian is going to win every time. God has called you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the Bible says, having done all, to stand. So let's stand. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Well, I've enjoyed this. I like, and I need, it doesn't matter that I like it, but I do like it. But I realize we need muscle and we need to flex them. We need to believe it in our heart and we need to open our big mouth and speak it. We need to tell the devil to go to hell because that's where he's going. His future is in hell and he's the only one you should say that to. We resist him. He has to go. We command him to get his hands off of our kids and off our families and against our friends. We don't ask him. We don't educate him away. We have to stand strong in the power of his might so that we acknowledge we're just little children. But we're more than little children. Because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Lord, we thank you for the word of truth that sets people free. We thank you, Lord, for setting all of us free to be strong in the Lord. We thank you, Father, for being our victor, our example. You are our warrior template. We thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost and power that gives us the strength to endure to the end. Let us put away discouragement. Through your help, O Lord, may we put away fear, anxiety, and may we put away once and for all the confusion of complexities. Give us the simplicity of your gospel. Thank you for all that you are and that all that you will be for your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. Today, if you are in need of prayer for anything, if you need a change in your life in any area, if you just want more of God, if you want resolutions to things that are clouding your mind and you want liberty and freedom, I'm going to open these altars up for you to come, for you to have the liberty and freedom to respond to this message and to seek the Lord, to bow before Him, asking Him to give you a warrior spirit and fill you with the Holy Ghost and power and make things right. If you have unconfessed sin, this would be a great time for you to bow before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. I cannot lose this battle. Help me. If you're sick and afflicted and you'd like the prayer, I want you to come. May all God's people who sense that they need more of God come and bow before the King today and let God give you the strength. Let God minister to you before you leave. Hallelujah. We're going to sing, and as we sing, y'all come. Find you a place to pray before you leave, and you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. Hallelujah. All right.